All right, Matthew chapter number 6. Good to be here. I know what time morning tea is scheduled for. I've asked and I've been told, and I want to move quickly, and you will see me moving quickly. I'm going to give you a little bit of, I guess it's teaching. It won't really be preaching, and I'll just give you some thoughts, some things that you can think about and digest a little bit, and just see as you think about those things what is helpful to you. I'm going to read a few verses, and I'm sort of condensing for quickness. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 9. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I'll stop there. And I want to talk to you this morning briefly about the will of God. And I think wherever you're at, the will of God remains an important subject to you. So there are some just starting out and you're trying to discern the will of God for, you know, steps ahead in your life. There are others well into the journey, but you want to discern the will of God maybe for some specific thing or next steps or whatever. I think the will of God is something that every believer is constantly aware of and trying to stay on track with. Notice what Jesus said here. I've taken, by the way, lately, just by word of testimony, to read the Bible slower. So I've slowed down in the reading of the Word of God. And not only have I slowed down, I pause more often. And so I will, because I really do believe that every word is the Word of God. I believe it's His Word. And I really believe that every word is important, and that God is not frivolous with the way He says things, and it's very purposeful and meaningful in what He says and how He says it, and even what He doesn't say anything more than what He says. And so I want to know Him. I want to understand Him. I listen carefully. When I get around opportunity to be around people who I perceive to know God, I purpose to do much more listening than talking. I want to just sit and listen, and I want to try to understand everything that I can. And I delight to understand more of Him and His ways. And I have found that as you know Him, you only become more deeply devoted to Him, because He's just good, good, good in every way. Life isn't always good, and people aren't always good. But God is always good. So Jesus said in verse number 10 that you should be prayerful in this way, that you would pray, talking of the Lord, thy will be done in earth, so that's where we are, as it is in heaven. And so He's just quickly telling us, well, I'm quickly telling you, that in heaven right now, the will of God is being done without exception, full stop. There is everybody there present, and everything there present in that place is absolutely doing the will of God. And in heaven, it would just be an abominable thought that anyone would not do the will of God. And so Jesus said, well, that's already happening. That's how it is there. It'll be nice to be in heaven and not sin anymore, won't it? It'll be nice to not have to struggle with your thoughts. It'll be nice not to realize you just did some dumb thing that probably wasn't so good. It'll be nice to be free of that. In heaven, everybody does the will of God. Jesus said, I would have you to pray that same thing that is happening up there would be happening here in earth. That's That's what he wants to see happen. That's what he wants to have happen, and that's what he wants to have happen for you. There are two great competing movements taking place in the world. And they're unseen largely, but they play out in seen things. And they're very powerful, and they're about their business of what they're trying to achieve. And these two great forces are those forces that are working to do God's will and to see God's will happening. But there's a counterforce operating that is working against God's will. And you and I are playing out our life with that pull going on all around us. And it's happening in nations, and it happens right down to the level where we're at. But there's two great forces at work there. You want to be part of the force and the group that is desiring and committed to doing the Lord's will as it is being done in heaven. That's what you want to do. I can't give you the desire of your heart, and I can't for you make you want God's will. And I'm not deluded that everybody here wants it. And there are a lot of people who just want their will. They want heaven, but they want their will. You know, they don't want to go to hell. They want to go to heaven, but they want everything they want right here now. And I can't put that in your heart that you would be a person who would just want God's will. I can pray that God would grip some hearts and maybe change some hearts. He got mine and a teenager and a young man. He just got my heart. And so these two forces are at work. There's things trying to pull you away from the will of God. And that's in a macro and a micro way. So the will of God plays out even in the way you speak and respond to something. Are you listening? God has a will in that. So if there are those who despitefully use you, God has given instructions what you're supposed to do. So that's his will. And so his will is being played out in your life in daily things as well as big things. And so what you should be saying always, you should say it to yourself, your mind, your heart, your meditations, thy will be done. Thy will be done. With this, with this, with this, with these, thy will be done. Here, as it is being done in heaven. And that's how we should be. Now, sometimes God's people who even know better do not always do God's will. And worse, sometimes they may be doing things that are actually opposing and hindering the doing of God's will. You want to be really, really careful, no matter whatever happens to you, you don't get on the wrong side of the equation where you're hindering what God is trying to do versus helping what God is trying to do. Now you may get upset with somebody, or you may get annoyed with somebody, you might get angry with somebody, and as the outworking of your anger, you may war on them. The danger is when those people are trying to do the will of God, your warring on them is warring on the will of God. And you're on the wrong side of the equation. So when you say something hurtful, damaging, sometimes with intent for that to happen, or when you write something, when you fire something off to somebody who's trying to serve the Lord, and they receive that, and in receiving that, there's a crippling, a debilitating. You've actually become an instrument working against the will of God. And so I'm just saying, don't get on the wrong side of the ledger. And even if you have your hurts and your frustrations and all of that, really be careful that you're not hindering the work of God and the will of God that somebody else is trying to live that out. What you want to do is be a refreshing encouragement to people who are serving God and trying to do the will of God. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, you know the story there with Peter. It said, "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art," now listen to what, listen again, careful words, "thou art an offence unto me," that offends me, you offend me, in doing what you just did and saying what you just did, that's offensive to me for this reason. Here it is, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. It's offensive to me who wants to do all that the Father would have me to do, that you say those things, because when you say those things, you reveal yourself. And and how you reveal yourself is I can see that you savour the things of men, not the things of God. You know when you savour something, it's like, you know, I've had 3 lamb chops this week. Because you don't get any lamb chops in Thailand. And so we were at Woolies and lamb chops were on sale. So I've had a lamb chop and an egg for breakfast every morning. And when I sail on out tonight back to Thailand, that's the end of the lamb chops. But I savour the lamb chops. You know, like they I can smell them cooking and, you know. And I've got images of Grandma at the stove when she used to do that. And when my lamb chop finally comes out with my egg for breakfast, I smell it, you know. And when I take the first bite, I chew slow. I savour it. You know, he said, your offence is this, you savour the things of men, but you don't savour the things of God. And often we do the things of God begrudgingly, or we do the things of God feeling compelled by the brethren, but it's not a savouring. And Jesus said that's an offence to me. Now, thank God Peter was converted. That's the word that the Bible uses. And he did change. You want to stay on the right side of God's will always. Okay, let me give you a few simple things and let's go out and be done. Number one, we must see the will of God as our duty and priority in life. We must. In Hebrews 10, verse 9, speaking of the Lord, quoting what was already said of the Lord, it says, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." I am here to do thy will. I have breath to do thy will. I'm here for that. I'm born unto this purpose. Not to do my will, but to do thy will. And we must see the will of God as a duty, but a priority of life. And all your decision-making should start with that first. And your prayers should be about that. Number two, God does not play hide-and-seek with the will of God. And I think sometimes we've perhaps made it a little bit too mystical. And we make it like people wonder where it is, you know. And sometimes, frankly, you just overthink it. And you're kind of looking for... God is not toying with you. He's not playing a game with you. He's not trying to make it hard for you. Well, why hasn't he shown me? I'll answer that in a moment. But he doesn't play hide and seek with the will of God. It's not that he's... trying to do that to you. He never does that. All right, number three, its revealing is often tied to your readiness to receive it. All right, so he knows what it is, and but he will not reveal that to you until you're ready to receive what he's going to show you. Okay, and that's okay. That doesn't mean necessarily that you are sinful. It just may mean you're just not ready for that. All right, so I told you I was sitting in that pew over there when God called me to Thailand and really affirmed that to me. I was sitting over there, and I'll be sad the day that those pews go. But I was sitting over there. Leave one for me. I was sitting over there, and that's where the Lord just really affirmed that. But listen, if he had said that to me earlier, I don't think I would have received it. I don't think I would have received that. I mean, those of you who knew me earlier knew that I'm a very Australian. You know, my passion was for Australia. I entertained no thoughts at all that I would ever be anywhere but Australia. I used to preach a message called "Will the Real Australia Please Stand Up?" It went into print, it went out. People would call me and say, "Can you come in on this Sunday and preach that message?" You know, I mean, I was just very that way. I didn't need any food that wasn't Aussie. You know, I didn't need anything. Remember Philip Pinero would come up here and talk about eating Lebanese food, and I'd think, oh, gee, give me a lamb chop or something, you know. I didn't know what that was, but it just sounded awful. And I thought, you know, he'd call himself a wog. You remember that? He'd always say he was a wog. And I'd think, you are a wog. You know, Lebanese food and all this stuff. I mean, to me, it was just, you know, I was just very Australian. Well, that's okay, because I was meant to be very Australian for a number of years while I was here. And my focus was here. But the Lord in due time began the process of working in my heart to show me some things that were going to come next. Now, it'd be very hard for me now to leave Thailand. We already have planned to finish our days there. I walked with my men the other day around, and we have an allocated spot where they are intending that we would be put to rest there. So, I mean, I'm just saying that now, if the Lord does something different, but that I'm being very truthful about that. So it's revealing is often tied to your readiness to receive it. And then we will say, number four, because he knows ahead doesn't mean he shows you ahead. Okay, so seeing ahead, here's the problem. Seeing ahead some things will stop you doing some things now. If you knew that was coming, that would alter everything you're doing now. And he doesn't want to do that. And he don't want to show you that ahead. Now, did he know? He knew. But you didn't need to know. And if you had known, you would have done things very differently to what you did do, and he doesn't want you to do that. So he knows ahead, but he doesn't always show ahead. And be really at peace with that, because he's just the best one to know when we tell, when we show, what we do. Be at peace with all of that, all right? What he wants you to do is what he's shown you to do now. And he doesn't want you living ahead, because we're not there. It's just now. Okay, number five, regarding the will of God, its revealing is most often incremental. So mostly as God reveals things to you, he will do it in increments, which means there'll be a progressive revealing of what this thing is. And he'll work with you incrementally about that. Now, he already knows what is behind the curtain. He could just go whoop and show you. But it usually works this way. Watch me. It usually works like that. And that's his way, and that's a good way. Okay, so usually the will of God, it'll kind of be shown incrementally to you. So what you do is you do the things that are revealed already while you're waiting for what is not yet revealed. Okay, so there are things you know already, I just need to be doing this. And if you're praying about his will and some other things, or are waiting on his will, while you're praying, while you're waiting, what you should be doing is doing what you already know he would have you to do. Okay, and everybody should know those things. And then lastly, number six, when you're not doing what he's already shown you, there's not going to be any new thing coming. Okay, so when you're not doing what he's already revealed to you to do, there's no new thing going to come along. Okay, and sometimes people are searching for the new thing, but he's not going to show you that, because he's already told you what you should be doing now. And I'll end by saying this, his will is your best life. His will is your best life. Take it from someone getting along the journey a little bit, who gets to look back and just is overwhelmed with the goodness of God and the wonder of serving him. And you're looking at someone who wishes they had 10 more lives to give to Jesus. I'd like to give a life and go to Burma and serve God there for a lifetime. I'd like to give a life and go and serve God somewhere else. I mean, his will is your best life. Okay, you don't get defrauded or robbed of anything because you do his will. You're not less because you do his will. You'll be the best version of you that can be when you do the will of God. So being in his will, the where of that, you know, the placement of God, and we all have a where, and doing the work of God, that's the thing that is most honouring to him. So, you know, there might be some, you know, who want to be in another place, but God says, that's not your place, this is your place. When you yield to that, that's the greatest thing you can do, because you're yielding yourself wholly to the will of God. All right, 9:40, I've given you back 10 minutes, all right? Thank you. It's about time, all right? Thank you, God bless you.